98.5 Sunshine FM. If I said the name Graham Cole, you may or may not know who I'm talking about, but as soon as I say PC Tony Stamp, you're sure to recognise this morning's guest. Graham Cole has been playing the part of Tony Stamp in ABC TV's The Bill for 22 years. In this week's New Idea magazine, he talks about the operation that saved his hearing. He joins me now on the line. Graham, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Bless you, Rodney. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. And I bet it's hot there.
It has been a bit warm lately. Very much indeed.
We've got snow, you'll be pleased to know. It's freezing here. I wish I was still in Australia.
Well, you were recently out here. And how many times have you actually been to Australia?
That was about our fifth trip, believe it or not. And I'm still brandishing the tan. I'm very envious of other cast members I have around me refusing to stand next to me during shooting.
I guess once you get here, you realise how big the show is in Australia.
Absolutely. I mean, it's immense, and you can never be prepared for it. We tried this time to get up to Perth, and we failed yet again. There's just not... I mean, we were there for 5 weeks, and there's still not enough time to get around your magnificent country. And you're absolutely right. I'm still amazed when I'm walking down the beach, whether it be... down in Sydney or whether on the Gold Coast, and you're walking in shorts, floppy hat, and people are still going, "Hello, Tone." It's just unbelievable. You can't get ready for it at all. It is incredible. And I think as well, the thing that most of us, our bosses are always saying to us, "Why is it so popular down there? What is it? What is it?" I mean, don't analyse it. Just soak it up. Don't question it. It's wonderful. It really is absolutely wonderful.
You're saying that as you're walking down the street, people say, "G'day, Tony." And, of course, they associate you with the character. But how deep does that go? Do you find that sometimes people do think that you are actually a policeman?
It's very scarily, yes. And particularly scarily, even the people that I work with think that I'm a policeman as well, which is very, very worrying. Like they'll say to you at parties, you know, "How much? Can I have another glass of wine? What do you think? Am I over the limit yet?" I have no idea. People do. A little while ago, I was driving a black Vectra. It's a Vauxhall, which I think is Holden, isn't it, over where you are, I think. But it's black car, very low, very stylish, sporty car. So nothing like a police car at all. And I pulled up traffic lights. And I can hear the car before I see it. The thumping music is just deafening. And this car pulls up alongside. It's got four lads in it, all doing the street head bopping to the music. The passenger looks at me, says something to the driver. The driver looks at me. The guy in the back looks at me. And I just nod at them. And they put their seatbelts on.
The power that you wield.
Power. It did make me laugh. It really did make me laugh. They knew the face had got something to do with policing. They could probably at the time afterwards, they probably cursed themselves when they realised who it was. But no, that happens all the time. And particularly as I'm out with the police all the time, I love the research. Researching is the best part of acting. And when I'm out with the real cops, if I'm at Scotland Yard or somewhere like that, I'm in a suit, I'm doing something for charity usually, but I'm in their environment. And as I'm walking down the stairs, you see so many cops go to salute because they know the face has got something to do with policing. Because they're clocking it, I must be somebody important. It's just wonderful. It really is incredible.
I must say, 22 years at Sun Hill, I do worry about people that take up a position at Sun Hill, because if you go there, you can be assured that your love life will not go smoothly. You're in danger of being kidnapped. I think the station itself has been blown up about three times. It must be an interesting place to work.
It is indeed. And also, I would suggest that perhaps Tony Stamp is not the man to stand in front of when he's driving his car, because I've had my full share of running people over, I have to say. When you see it in the script, you do go to the script editor and go, "Do you really think I can get away with this again?" Even, Trudy Goodwin, you know her, of course, as Sergeant Ackland. I even ran me sergeant over and she lost her spleen. I mean, it is not the place to work. I think Trudy and I were talking the other day, and we can, off the top of our heads, talk about 18 characters that have died. Now, I think most coppers go through their 30-year career and never come across anything like that. It is not the place to be. It's certainly not the station to hang around. They do blow it up an awful lot. Normally, because we're moving base, you know, we're going to go somewhere else. And the easiest way to do that is not to refurbish, but to blow the place up. So we do hope. But that is the trouble with soaps as well, though, isn't it? They just kind of drop a plane on you, don't they, if they want to recast.
It is interesting the way that the bill has gone, because I'm an avid watcher myself, and I know that it certainly focused a lot on just the crime and solving the crimes in the early days. A few years back, it went very much soapy. It's come back a bit, and now it's really getting that balance right, isn't it?
It is. It's a very difficult thing to do, but part of the problem, if it is a problem that we have the bill, is that, of course, we're an independently produced show. We're one of the only on the network that is independently produced, so we're not owned by one of the big conglomerates. So basically, ITV also dictate what they want us to be doing. So the thing I love about the bill is it is very, very manipulative. You can do whatever you want to do with it. You can take it and down any route. And like you say, we did sort of the Gabriel Kent stuff was a bit far-fetched, went on a little bit too long. Some of the love affairs go on a little bit too long. But it's a difficult thing to judge. And by the time the viewing figures start to come in, it's almost too late, if you know what I mean. But we're coming out of that. You're absolutely right. We're going back to more crime-led stories. So hopefully Tony Stamp will be all right for a couple more years with a bit of luck, provided I can still run, Rodney. I have to say that it does hurt. I started 22 years ago. The villains were 17 and very fit and running. I am now 22 years later on. The villains are still 17, very fit and running. They're young actors who want to make a mark, aren't they, in our industry. So they go like whippets. The only great thing that I know is that our directors, we only have one handheld camera on the bill. We're not a multi-shoot. So I know, and I'm very canny enough to go and talk to our directors. Like, I'm tomorrow morning, I'll be with Rob Knight, and I'll say to him, okay, Rob, how many shots do you reckon, Governor? And he'll go 7 or 8 or 6, depending on how he's shooting the thing in his head. And we go, okay, fine. So I let these youngsters run, because after the third or fourth run, they're slowing up, because they all smoke, you know. They're slowing up, and I can catch them easier and easier each time.
A great technique. Now, I do have a hint for you, though. One thing I've noticed on the bill is when there's a villain somewhere and they're still off in the distance, you guys always tend to warn them. You say, hey, you stop there. Now, how about you just creep up on them? Then you're not so much running.
Well, you see, Rodney, you're a man after my own heart. I have never shouted oi. You can go back in any of the bill stories. I refuse to do it. My directors have to come up with another idea, or I have to go into work with another idea. I agree with you, you see. I think if they're doing something wrong and a police car comes whizzing around the corner, that's enough to make me run, and I think it's enough to make them run. And I think you're absolutely right. It's those idiots in suits, the CID, the brains department, as Stamp calls them. They're not that bright, you know, these lads, and that's why they're that's why they're out of uniform so quickly, because the uniform don't want them. They're not very good. So they go into CIDs, and that's the trouble, man. They're not very good in CID. They have to shout oi because they don't know what else to do. Whereas a uniform cop, of course, will shout stop or I'll let the dog off, or stop or I'll fire. They're not as canny as we are, you see. They're not that good.
Now, of course, you've acted alongside some amazing actors there over the years. It must be fun. And even the people that come in for a guest spot to play a criminal of one sort or another, you've played it with some amazing people.
We are so, so lucky on the bill. The episodes with my dad, John Woodvine played my dad, you know, who is an absolute hero of mine. And on British television and on stage, the Shakespeare's and the plays that he's done were just fantastic. And when he said yes to playing dad, that was superb for us. Again, we're very lucky on the bill. I think the main reason the actors come on to our show is that it is still one of the only actor-led shows. There are techniques you can use when you're in television programs. When you're in the bill, you can't use them because we're out on the streets. You're out on location. You've got to know the script. You've got to know your character, and you've got to go for it 110%. There's very little leeway. When we're doing the fighting sequences, they've got to look real. So the punches are very close, I might say. You're always making sure you've still got your nose and there's none of that red claret stuff running down it after a fight sequence on the bill. And I think our guest artists appreciate the fact that it is an actor-led show. They have to trust us. The PA will come to us, the person assistant will come up to us and say after a particular shot, we've got to shave off 3 or 4 seconds speed up on this line or that line. And very often people think the bill's ad-libbed, but it isn't. Everything is timed, every line is checked, and we really do just have an absolute ball, because anything that's really professional, that's really that close with wonderful boom operators, the guys that work the microphones over our heads and the camera crews, when you're working with absolute pros, I can tell when the camera operator is coming from his eyepiece whether we're going to go again or not from his point of view, whether he thinks that the focus was a little soft, that it wasn't a sharp picture. And that's wonderful when you're working with those kind of technicians. It's just fantastic. It really is.
But of course, you don't always have the chance to go again, because there's been a couple of times that you've actually done the show live.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, most of us, I spent 15 years of my life in theatre before going into television, apart from the occasional little shows with some guys you may or may not know, Kenny Everett and guys like that, mainly comedies I used to do then. But it is very, very different on a show, again, like The Bill. You don't have the leeways. The fun of working a live theatre, I absolutely adore. And when you tie yourself down to something like The Bill, you do see other characters that you're asked to play. I mean, I get asked to do all sorts of things for the course of the year. And that is very, very special to me, that people still are asking that, because you're never too sure how long to stay. The strange thing about The Bill again is that we don't hear the radio messages. They're put on afterwards. It's too technically difficult to actually run them. So when we're in the car and we're driving along and it's Stamp and Hollis in the car, we have to react at the same time to the messages coming through. So we have to know the scripts really well to know when the voice is ending and when we should reply to it. It's technically a great show to work on. And I don't know how long to stay, and I don't know what's next, and that's the thrill of being an actor, isn't it?
We certainly do love your character and hope you do stay around for a long while yet.
Bless you, Rodney. I have a ball, and I can't tell you how moved I am when I come to Australia and you guys want to come and talk to me. It is so, so special.
Of course,
the ladies wanting to cuddle him, because he's never got married, has he? Much to the chagrin of my missus, who's normally a couple of yards in front or behind me. That's a lovely thing when the ladies want to give you a cuddle, because Tony Stamp is shunned in love.
There are some times when what happens on The Bill is actually mirrored in real life. And of course, it wasn't so long ago here when we were watching that you're wandering around the station as Tony Stamp, having hearing problems, and a number of your colleagues were ribbing you about that. But of course, that's happened in real life.
Indeed, bless your heart for mentioning that. What a wonderful link, I might say. I hope your producers are listening. you're absolutely right. Yeah, I had an operation about 4 years ago now. I got a thing called otitis sclerosis, which is a hardening of the ear bones. A callus forms around the stirrup and it can't vibrate and pick up sound. I thought I'd got like a blood pressure problem, because I used to get this thumping in my ear. And I went to the doctors thinking he's going to go, oh, yeah, you've got high blood pressure or whatever. And he said, amaze me, now go and see this ear, nose and throat specialist man. I went there, and it was a thing called tinnitus. A lot of you radio guys get it, don't you, with the old headsets on and that sort of thing. It's a buzzing or a banging or a throbbing. It can be all sorts of noises in the ear. One of the guys that I saw, he said, I asked him what the prognosis was, and he said, oh, you're going to go deaf. And it really scared me, really, really scared me. And I, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and he said, well, depends how long it takes for these, for this bone to form around the stirrup and stop all sound getting into your ear. So I lasted for about another 2.5 years, lip reading, doing all sorts of things to overcome. And of course, when you work as an actor, and particularly, you know, when you're talking about the live stuff, the heart pumps like merry hell. And when we were doing the live, it really did. You go for it, but it's like doing a theatre show, and it's very special, very exciting. But the banging in your ear is unbelievable. And when I spoke to the surgeons, and why have I got the particular line of tinnitus? The ear itself is working fine. It's the stirrup where you've got the problem. So your ear is picking up on its next nearest sound, which in your case is the carotid artery. And that's why if I was running or doing anything physical, I could hear this banging exactly like your heartbeat in my ear. It was horrific and really loud. The faster I ran or the more exertion, the louder it got. And I had the operation 4 years ago. They took out the old stirrup. They gave me a little plastic one. They hold it in your ear by taking a vein from your hand and pad your ear. 10 days later, they pull the padding out and the world rushes in. And it's like being a six-year-old kid. It's absolutely incredible. I've still got it in my left ear, and eventually I'll have to have that operated on. But at the moment, I'm doing quite well with me right ear. It's amazing, absolutely amazing.
It must have been an incredible transformation.
very scary that when the surgeon says to you about having the operation, he'll go, you know, look, I'll guarantee 98%, but if something goes wrong in the theatre, you know, and we cut the wrong bit, you will be totally deaf in that ear. And it was a scary, scary prospect. But it's amazing how the human body adapts. The hardest thing at the time was if you're in a crowded room, your ear didn't know what to listen to. And so what you do, and I well understand people with hard of hearing now, is you go into your own little cocoon because it's so difficult to listen to anyone. You just sort of go and stand in the corner because it's too difficult to associate. And one of the most aggravating things, and please don't do it, listeners, is that I used to tell the guest artists when they came on the show that I'm hard of hearing, and 9 out of 10 of them would go, pardon, straight away. And it's not funny. You know, if it was an eye patch or if you had a limp or something, you'd get sympathy. For some unknown reason, when you mention it's your ears, people think it's funny and instantly go into this pardon thing. And when you try and say, look, I actually can't hear, if you turn your back to me and I had the back of your head, I would not hear what you were saying. I could only see and lip read and then work it through. And it's very lonely if you have hearing problems, really, really lonely. And I learned an awful lot about myself, about my ability to work with a slight, a very, very slight problem. And my heart goes out to anyone who, if they're profoundly deaf or if they're hard of hearing, it's very, very tough. Unfortunately, the surgeons were able to help me. In many, many cases, they can't. So I don't have tinnitus in my right ear anymore at all, but it is thumping away 24 hours a day in my left ear hole, but I can cope with that. It's an amazing thing. It really is incredible.
Graeme, it has been wonderful to chat to you. I've watched you for many years on the box, and it's great to be able to...
Next time I come to Australia, I'm coming to Perth, Rodney, and I'm going to come live on your radio station.
Okay, I will hold you to that.
Bless your heart, man.
Okay, thanks so much for your time.
Bless you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. God bless your hearts. Take care.